The Full Will Chase Experience. I love it.
The following is a production by Cutting to the Chase Podcast. Danielle McCartan from WFAN in New York. How are you?
Doing good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Great to have you on. Baseball season is finally here. I'm sure you're excited for it, right?
Oh, man. The countdown is finally over. Yes, I can't wait. Love baseball.
And I guess the countdown for the Mets will be another day with the rain out, but we'll get to the Mets in a second. So expectations for the Yankees in a crowded AL East. We know how stacked Baltimore, Tampa, Toronto can be and how good they're potentially probably going to be. But what are your thoughts on the 2024 Yanks as we head into this season?
Yeah, I mean, I saw, what was it, a graphic of a whole bunch of like people in the industry predicting, you know, AL East winner, you know, all of it. And I obviously fast forwarded kind of to the right-hand column, which was World Series, and there were, I would say, at least a third of the people polled pick the Orioles to win the World Series. And some had it the Orioles defeating the Yankees in the AL, whatever. But I as far as the Yankees, sorry about the dog here, but as far as the Yankees themselves in their own little entity, the pitching's going to be a problem for them. I think the bats will be there. I think the lineup will come around for once. I love the additions of Soto and Verdugo. I mean, those are guys that don't strike out, which always seems to, you know, be the Yankees' Achilles heel come playoff time, come postseason time. But for me, you know, it's the biggest person that it's this season's going to rest on is on the arm of Carlos Rodon. You know, you've got Cole out for who knows how long. And, you know, it's this Carlos Rodon thing. He was signed on to be the 1B. Hasn't ever, you know, been that way. So as the season goes, it's going to go as Carlos Rodon goes. I'm not too hopeful for him and for that pitching rotation. But hopefully, you know, hopefully this Cole thing isn't so bad. The lineup can kind of tread water up until then. Obviously, at this point in time, the hitters are a little bit ahead of the pitchers anyway. So hopefully this lineup could knock some runs in and keep the pitching staff afloat for at least through the end of May, through Memorial Day. Is that too much to ask?
I don't know. Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, maybe if Cole, you know, comes back, let's say you said Memorial Day, for instance, let's say he comes back, he's stronger, maybe in the back half of the season in the playoffs, if they get to the playoffs, maybe it's not the worst thing. But yeah. Like, you know, you said it, Rodon, Nestor Cortez, how's he going to do this year? Are you surprised or were you in the camp of they should have gotten either Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery?
Absolutely. And either of the two of them. I didn't think a Montgomery reunion would happen based on how it ended. But Blake Snell was there. He was. So that to me shows that the Yankees aren't all the way in like they claim to be. You know, if you were all the way in, it wouldn't matter what either of those two guys cost. And you'd go in and get what needs to be done. Because the last thing that needs to come out now is, oh, Gerrit Cole, he's out through, you know, I don't even want to put it out into the universe, you know.
Right.
And you had those two guys to choose from at that point in time. And you didn't go out and make a move for either of them. That could be something we're talking about months from now that the Yankees swung and missed on. And they were right there for the taking.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like so many teams, the Yankees especially, it's like, oh, the injury is not so bad. We're not that concerned. And look at Judge last year with the whole toe thing and toe gate, basically. And now the offense should be good as long as guys, like you mentioned, Verdugo or mainly Judge and Soto. You figure Soto's going to be great, obviously, and if everyone's healthy. But Giancarlo, is Stanton going to be good? Is he going to even resemble what he used to resemble? Can he be healthy?
He had a great spring. A great spring. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm hopeful for him.
Juan Soto's going to test free agency, right? But, like, is potentially 1 year of Soto enough to be the difference maker for this team? They didn't really make the free agency impact, but I mean, they got Soto, right? So who cares, I guess, as long as he's healthy in that stadium. But what do you think the odds are of him being back after this year? I know it's crazy to already go into next year, but you know, that's what everybody wants to know.
I know. I'm probably going to try to venture to guess and say, let's see how the Yankees fare this year. I think, you know, say the Yankees make it to the World Series, even win one, let's say. That's really hard to turn down if you're a player like that. If I'm Juan Soto and I'm looking at Aaron Judge in his prime, I'm looking at all these, Volpe, all these guys in their prime. and I win a World Series with them, I personally would want to run it back. And at that point, life-changing money is, you know what I mean? Like, what's a couple $20 million to go try to run it back and win a World Series again next year? So if you're asking me right now, will he be back? I'm going to say yes.
You think it's going to be like 10 years and, I don't know, $500
million? Oh, I hope not.
It's hard to put those numbers out there. But I mean, he is what? I mean, he's still relatively young. I mean, obviously, we're talking about baseball players. They're all relatively young anyway. But you know what I mean? Like, in terms of Soto, he's done so much and he's still, you know, got quite a ways to go before he's 30 even. So even if you give him that long-term deal, I mean, he's probably going to age gracefully, you would think. You would hope, anyway. You never really know.
But I know. And my next thing would be like, all right, teach him to play third base now. Now that's his next. If he signs for that long, get him some reps at third base. Because you know Aaron Judge, when he's done, Aaron Judge played first base in high school. So you know sooner rather than later, first base is going to be locked up because he's obviously a Yankee for life. So, okay, so you look at it long-term. Well, where could Juan Soto fit? He can't be playing the outfield for the rest of his career. He won't be a middle infielder. Where else would he fit on this team? Third base. So if he signs long term, that's the first thing I would do. I would give him an infielder's glove and say, you're taking some reps at third base, man.
And they've got the mighty Astros to kick off the season. So we'll see how they do. It's only the first few days of the year. So, you know, but it's like, that's like their one main, you know, bugaboo the last few years for sure.
Yeah. And next, I think, is going to be the Orioles, the running Orioles, the young guys, the young guns. And I wish the Yankees took more of a page out of their playbook in constructing this lineup. Guys that can run the bases, go first to third. It's something I've been clamoring for. Volpe can do it. Who else? I mean, look at that lineup. Who else? Gleyber, maybe?
Like you said before, all the home runs or really home run or strikeout type team. I mean, the old 90s, I know we can't go comparing to the 90s Yankees, but, you know, that team could do it all with the style of play. They could do whatever they had to do to win any game. And the last few years for the Yanks, it's kind of been all or nothing, especially come playoff time. And then it's like, oh, they fizzled out too fast.
Yeah, I have concerns. And you talk about those teams. I mean, like those games back then, they were 7-inning games, or maybe 8. You had Mariano Rivera coming in, right? So another concern I have, besides the starting pitching for this Yankees team this year, the 2024 Yankees, is the closer. And I know they like to go with matchups. I get it. But Hader was out there for the taking. They didn't do it. I don't have a ton of confidence in Clay Holmes. He comes out there, and it's kind of like nail-biting. Like, I know I'm not comparing him to Mariano Rivera, but either he's really on or he's not. And I just have no confidence in Clay Holmes to close a game out. So that's I would say, if you ask me what were the two weaknesses of this Yankees team right now, the starting pitching and their closer.
What do you think about Aaron Boone in general? Do you like him, or are you kind of thinking, okay, it's time to take that next step already? Or is it even really on him because of the way the roster has been constructed the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think, and I feel like this is like a campaign slogan, put the general back in general manager. Like, they should stop meddling. Like, you even saw Buck Showalter, the last of the stalwarts, you know? Even the Mets front office, and we'll get to them in a second, but even the Mets front office was telling him how to run his team. So to me, it doesn't matter if it's Aaron Boone, Joe Girardi, Joe Torre nowadays. To me, it wouldn't matter who it is. So could they improve? Sure, I think they could improve from Aaron Boone, but they're just going to bring in another guy just like him. So what's the difference?
Exactly.
Players seem to like him. The players want to play for him. So, okay, fine.
Yeah. So speaking of the Mets, so obviously last year was kind of a disaster going into the season. They were the free agent or the offseason, you know, World Series winner there, but everything blew up pretty quickly. So what's the vibe now on the Mets in New York in terms of, are people excited? Do they think they could contend for a wild card even better? Or are they going to be a 500 team below? Mm-hmm. I think I saw on FanGraphs, they actually had the Mets at like 83 and 79. I thought it was going to be a lot worse than that.
Me too. I am not too optimistic about the Mets. I mean, we're talking about the Yankees starting pitching. That looks like a freaking Cy Young award winning roster compared to what the Mets have in their starting pitching. I mean, it's really bad, really bad. I was in the camp that they should have kept Verlander. I know he's hurt. But they should have kept Verlander. Scherzer wanted to go. That's fine. I don't think they should have blown it up at all. Let me put that. I'm on the record saying that. You know, you could. All they needed was a designated hitter last year, and they could have been in business, I think. But for this year, they finally got their designated hitter and they don't have the pitching now. So to me, that makes no sense. I wanted JD Martinez for almost two seasons now for them. He's a perfect fit for them. But look at that. You couldn't even, you had to like look up and down that line, the roster, the pitching depth, and say, okay, who's the starting, the opening day pitcher going to be? They ended up on Quintana, I think, but he's not a starting pitcher. He's not an opening day pitcher. So it's a huge faux pas from the Mets, even for them to not even want to try to entice Blake Snell or entice Jordan Montgomery. But, and also people are like, oh, well, they would have cost double based on the luxury tax. Well, if you didn't screw up last year with $80 million doled out to pitchers, you wouldn't be in this position this year. Scherzer didn't want to leave. So you pushed him out the door. It was just a mess. I think the Mets are a total mess. I would be shocked. I think the over-under total in the gambling sites is like 81 games, 81 and a half. I'm taking the under, although I feel like the lineup is so much better this year. They just don't have the pitching. People are pointing to Edwin Diaz. Oh, Edwin Diaz, he'll count for X amount of wins. Yeah, but they have to be in a position to win the game once he enters the game. That's the problem. So I don't know.
A Mets fan blocked me last year on Twitter because he was mad about the World Baseball Classic, and I said he could have gotten hurt anywhere, and he didn't want to hear it. But it's like, it's true. The closer, that could have happened at any point last year, spring training or whatever. That wasn't the reason why the Mets were awful. I mean, it didn't help, but, you know, like you said, everything else blew up before that anyway, or after, you know, shortly thereafter that anyway.
I know. That general manager, I'm so glad he's gone, but they replaced him with David Stearns. I call him on the radio. I call him small market Stearns. What has he done? What big moves has he done with the biggest pocketbook or wallet in baseball? What has he done? Nothing.
Yeah, I thought they were going to hire Craig Counsell. He went to the Cubs. So I really thought Stearns was going to go with him or you know, try to bring him along with him. Maybe they did try, but I think Counsell really wanted to go to Chicago regardless. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So Pete Alonso, where's he going to be playing baseball in 2025?
Oh, let's spin the dial here. You know, there's part of me that's like, the Mets will get this done. The Mets will get, for all of the reasons. But then there's part of me like, small market Stearns, does he know how to do something like this? Can he get this done? What if this team is just so bad that Pete wants to go somewhere that he can win? Well, I think he would look pretty good in a Yankee uniform because Rizzo's going to be a free agent after this year.
That's true.
I don't know, man. Where is he going to play? I think that the Mets are going to be so far out of it again by the trade deadline that I think Pete Alonso, not even next year, by the trade deadline, is going to be playing on a different team.
Any projections, or I don't want to go there yet?
I don't know. It's you got to see.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, who gets hurt? Yeah, you know, who can need a big bat? Who, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. He would be a good fit anywhere. Let's be honest. He's one of the most premier power hitters in the game, and only going to be better this year because he finally has some protection in the lineup with J.D. Martinez. So he's going to have a monster season, and it would be a real shame if it's not for the New York Mets, you know, for their duration of the season.
Yeah, I guess expectations are going to be tempered, at least amongst the Mets fan base, or maybe it's New York. We'll see.
I mean, when I'm on the radio, I'm tempering. I am tempering all the way down. So if the Mets win 72 games, I would be like, that was a good season for them.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Hockey season, it's winding down. Playoff time's coming up. So how do you feel about the Rangers? And even the Devils and Islanders are kind of in the mix. It's kind of, we know the Rangers are already officially in. So how do you feel about the Rangers going in?
Really good. I think that the Rangers have had a season that, I don't want to touch the money here, but they've overcome a lot of adversity. They have a 1A and a 1B goaltender situation now with Quick and Shesterkin. They've got Matt Rempe, who by just being on the ice, you know, being in uniform, hopefully he makes the playoff roster. I can't see a reason why he wouldn't, can't imagine a situation where he wouldn't, but I know he's a rookie, but I would dress him for the playoffs. And just having him there, having that enforcer presence on more of a finesse type team, that's huge, you know, for an opposing team to not go ahead and, you know, lay out Chris Kreider because you got to deal with Matt Rempe, you know, so that's huge. They've overcome adversity. It's different guys on different nights that seem to be stepping up for them. This is a complete team. Panarin is finally unlocked. He had the game winner the other night. So I really think that the Rangers have a really good shot. Like, I put money on the Rangers to win it all. I would say, I could check the day for you, but it was almost a month and a half ago. I have a real confidence in this team. Now, of course, you know, there come the Florida Panthers and those teams. But if you're asking about the Rangers, I think this is a solid team with a lot of depth to it. So I'm very high on them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting playoffs for sure. I'm looking forward to the playoffs. It's one of the best things in sports. So I have to say, real fast also before I let you go. So I heard you on the Fan last summer. I was listening to random, I don't know, I had you guys on. And you mentioned Emmanuel Barbari, and I was like, oh, I remember him. I used to write with him. And then anyway, I really became a fan for sure, though, when you had to deal with that caller about the whole not coming with content thing. So I was like, okay, I like the way you were able to, you know, defend yourself or whatever with that whole thing. So I was like, okay, she's cool. I like the way you had to, you know, handle that.
Yeah. You know, there's some guys that like get on there sometimes, and it's just 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, some guy was like, I'm going to school you, or I'm going to take you to school. And I was like, dude, like, are you serious? He was like, no. And his argument was that offensive linemen only learn one position. And I'm like, that's not true. Like that is not true. And I gave an example right away. Elijah Vera Tucker. They don't even have a position for him this year along the Jets line because he could play anywhere and they're going to see how the chips fall. It's like, I don't know. Like I do a lot of homework. I do a lot of research.
Oh, yeah.
So unless you're coming with factual like research and stats and you come at me like that, I always match the energy of the caller. If you're going to be downgrading to me or whatever the word is, I'm going to do the same to you. Condescending to me, I'm going to do the same to you. If you're pleasant, we can disagree and we can do it amicably. But yeah, that one caller, that's there's a whole story. He has messaged me on LinkedIn multiple times. I stopped engaging. I stopped answering. And he told me that was the most famous Sunday I'm ever going to have. Like, you don't say that to people. So yeah, so that was Ralph. That was Ralph in Lakewood, New Jersey. Yep, Ralph.
Definitely just keep doing your thing. I'm a fan. I like the content. I like the content that you put out there on the gram, Twitter, whatever. So, you know, keep doing your thing.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. And that was just that, you know what that was too? That was a confluence of you don't bring any content. Well, actually the day before that happened, I left my good friend's housewarming party to go watch the Sorry Mets and take notes on the Sorry Mets that night so I could be prepared on Sunday. So I don't have any content. I mean, I don't know what you're listening to, buddy, because I'm out there at the games, at the stadiums, interviewing the players, getting in the clubhouses, which is why I'm so excited for baseball to start. So to tell me that I have no content, you've got to be mistaken. Sorry.
Well, like I said, keep doing your thing. It's awesome. I'm a fan. So thanks again for popping on, and I had fun.
Yeah, anytime. Whenever you're ready for the next one, let me know.
Sounds good.